You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
So, late on Friday, the US Supreme Court ruled that the tariffs imposed by President Trump on almost all countries around the world was an overreach on the part of the president. In response to this, President Trump then came out to impose new tariffs on the world. We're going to look at this. We're going to try and make sense of it with Professor for Economics, Finance and Strategy at the Gordon Institute of Business Sciences, Professor Adrian Saville. He joins me on the line now to see what we make of this. Prof, lovely having you on the show as always. It seems our conversations become more and more colourful each time we catch up. I can't help but wonder whether or not this is less about tariffs and more about potentially a tantrum. What do you make of these developments?
Yeah, indeed, Jimmy. I'd put colourful is certainly belongs in the sentence. I think if we get sort of out of the noise of the Friday to Monday narrative and just sort of try and step back and get a bit of perspective on the broader trajectory, I think what this really highlights is that power is being balanced. And that it is being distributed between executive power, which is where the tariffs have come from, and institutional constraint or institutional guardrails. And in any economy, you need those checks and balances so that you can negotiate what we could refer to, borrowing from Darren Acemoglu and James Robertson, as we can navigate or negotiate the narrow corridor. Because executive power and authority is necessary to get stuff done, but institutional constraints and guardrails, barriers, boundaries are necessary to keep that power in check. And so I think that's what you're seeing going on here, is this trade-off. And what the institutional constraint, i.e. what the Supreme Court ruling does, is it slows trade policy down. It obliges trade policy to be more, sort of deliberate and predictable. And that is good for capital allocation. That's good for growth. That's good for markets.
Prof, when we look at trade policy, particularly in the context of the United States, can we make sense of what the United States' priorities are? I bring this up because I see a tweet from the new ambassador from the United States to South Africa suggesting that he had the opportunity to present a copy of his letters of credence to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. And the ambassador says, and I quote, "I look forward to advancing U.S. priorities to build a safer, stronger, and more prosperous America grounded in American exceptionalism and shared opportunity." But this is supposedly an opportunity to strengthen relationships between the United States and South Africa in the form of a partnership. Doesn't sound like this is a partnership, does it?
Well, if you look at the ground that we've covered and the amplitudes, the peaks and the troughs that we've had over the course of the last 12, 13 months when it comes to tariffs, I think it is hard to separate, the wood from for the trees. But, let's just step back and, why I'm banging on about this point about stepping back is because we've had such fast switches in direction of travel that you've got whiplash. And, in whiplash, it's not easy to make decisions. So, let's try and just step back. And here I'll put three big strands that we can weave through the noise and the disturbances and the utterances of the current administration. The first is there is a very deliberate and determined effort to strengthen the U.S. domestic industrial policy, reshoring, building strength in specific sectors. So that's hard to mistake. It's very clear what that is about. The second is there is a direct voice around geopolitical positioning, especially with regard to China. And there has been consistency in that. And then the third is around supply chain security. Now, it's South Africa's business, and here I want to underline this in turn, it's South Africa's business to step out of the noise and to be strategic. And we don't have the power or the capacity to call the shots here. So now let's go to what Mark Carney calls the, you know, the middle-sized powers. And where do we find our footing as a middle-sized power with the business of U.S. domestic industrial policy reshoring, with the fracturing and fragmentation geopolitically, and how do we secure a space in global supply chains? So I think that that is the call to business for South Africa from a policy and a business perspective.
Prof, I want to get your thoughts on whether or not we're in for more whiplash, understanding that President Trump didn't hesitate.
You don't even have to finish your sentence. You didn't have to finish your sentence. Come on, Jimmy.
This is very obvious. This is, I've got neck pain just thinking about it. So this is not the end of the road from a policy perspective and a decision perspective.
No, and having cut you short, I'm not sure you'll have me back on the show in a hurry, but you know, having cut you short, of course there will be more whiplashing. You know, here I want to do the however is think about, you know, where we were 12, 13 months ago, and it was, wow, you know, this is going to be dramatic. And what's actually come to pass has been far less dramatic. There was some fiscal firepower thrown into the cocktail. Monetary firepower was thrown into the cocktail. Business and supply chains have shown themselves all to be far more agile than we imagined. So now I think it would be disingenuous for me to say, oh, and look, you know, there's a double whammy on the table because that nasty tariff thing isn't going to happen. In fact, you know, we've consumed the absorption, but you know, like, well done to us on navigating without compromising growth, looking after our trade patterns, and in fact, coming out with I think a better story to tell than we went in. So for South Africa, the specific implications are, you know, how do we play on commodity strength? How do we use our resource-based materials channels? How do we double down on the industrial, intermediate industrial goods that we do have to offer? And all of that said, we will get more whiplashing. And so now that, you know, the next point would be back to my earlier case. As a mid-sized power, how do we strategically position ourselves with the US and with others? We aren't a country that has the luxury of choice here. We have to figure out how to work our way with multiple partners and to be strategically promiscuous.
Prof, before I let you go, when we look at emerging markets and where South Africa sits in that basket, do we have perhaps a strategic advantage in that we have been able to weather some of these storms potentially better than other emerging market economies?
I think so. And, you know, Jimmy, some of it's been given to us rather than our own creation, and specifically an emerging market currency that is well-traded, well-managed, listening to you talk to Roelof, you know, about South African Reserve Bank. So we do have real industrial heft, and that is translated into rand strength. We should make hay with that sun shining because it will translate into lower inflation. We've got monetary policy levers that we could pull there. The second is commodity prices and gold specifically. That is going to be a bonanza. You've got a budget coming shortly, so we've got a windfall gain from commodity prices. Don't squander this. The last time we had this commodity price windfall, we ripped through the money and there's nothing to show for it. And then, you know, the third is just to think about, you know, where we are strategically strong. And I might have overplayed the mid-sized power that we don't have too much strength, but we do have specific strategic strengths. And I would, you know, mention specifically regionalization, where South Africa remains the most sophisticated competitive economy from a regional perspective. And then to think about strategic diversification. Who else can we do business with, not at the expense of, but in combination with?
The whiplash is inevitable, but South Africa can remain focused on its own objectives and its own strategy if we are to weather the storm. Of course, we do still have more than 1,000 days, if I'm not mistaken, of the Donald Trump administration to deal with. So we have to strap in and get everything or keep everything going as planned. We'll leave this conversation, though, on that note. Thanks so much to Professor Adrian Saville of the Gordon Institute of Business Sciences, joining us to unpack the latest developments in Trump tariffs.